I brought in a copy of the Englishman's Greek Concordance of the New Testament. One of the reasons I brought it is because there are discrepancies in the Young's Analytical and Bollinger Concordances relative to a word that I used with the core. The word imputed, reckoned, counted. It's used 12 times in the first four chapters of Romans. It's used 11 times in the fourth chapter alone. It's translated other ways, other places in the book of Romans, which I will handle when we get to it. But the reason I stated this is to show you that in this fourth chapter especially, it shows God as the active one and the believers in the passive sense. And to be used 11 times in one chapter is really significant. And we'll see the reason for this, I trust, when we get to it. Here are the records from the whole book of Romans. The word logizomai completely in the book of Romans is used 19 times. 11 of those are in one chapter. It's used in Romans 2:3 as the word thinketh. In Romans 2:26, counted. Romans 3:28, conclude. Romans 4:3, counted. Verse 4, reckoned. 5, counted. 6, imputeth. 8, impute. 9, reckoned. Verse 10, reckoned. Verse 11, imputed. Verse 22, imputed. Verse 23, imputed. And verse 24, imputed. Then in chapter 6, 11, reckon. Chapter 8, 18, reckon. Chapter 8, 36, accounted. Chapter 9, verse 8, counted. And the final one is in chapter 14, verse 14. It's translated, esteemeth. Those are the usages of the word logizomai in the book of Romans. Logizomai is a real interesting word. Perhaps it could be associated a little bit with logic. Well, that's that. I also said the more you become a slave to Jesus Christ, the more freedom you have, which I described as a paradox. And it's true. Freedom is not determined by where you are, but by what and in whom you are. I told you that Paul was in jail, yet he was totally free. Others are not behind bars in jail, totally under bondage and enslavement. The more you become a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater freedom you will have in your life. Basically, the second word in the book of Romans is this word slave. The first word in the book of Romans is Paul. The second word is the indefinite article A. The third word is the word doulos. And that's the word translated servant, which means a branded slave. When a child is born, or when, a baby's born, an individual is born, that person is born to live. For an individual to be born again, he is born to serve. Anyone. As far as I understand the word, anyone who is ever called to be an apostle will have to absolutely be a servant, a doulos, a marked out one, and that by self-will and determination, a slave to the master by his own will, by his own choice, because of his love for the master, where his whole heart is. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the first thing I want to show you about this word doulos, as we get into this, and there have been a lot of teaching on doulos, a lot of various truths have been stated, but I'd like to, for the core, set what I believe are all the great principles in the Word on this word doulos. I do not know how many more verses there are than those I'm going to cover, but there are quite a few more. But I do not know of any more principles in the Word. First of all, Jesus Christ was a doulos, and Jesus Christ is the primary example to every born-again believer. In other words, Jesus Christ is our example. He's our brother, he's our Savior, you know all that. But he is our example. And Jesus Christ himself, God's only begotten Son, was a doulos. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us a what? An example that we should follow in his steps." I added the word "in." Tremendous book written entitled "In His Steps." And he got the title for his book from this verse. He is our example. He is our example that we should follow in his steps. So let's look at that example as a doulos, a servant. In Philippians chapter 2. To me, it's absolutely significant that the second word in the book of Romans is doulos, telling me that we are beginning to unfold the church epistles, number one church epistle, the book of Romans, and the first thing for any individual, Paul, his name, that's an individual, right? The first thing for that man or that woman is going to be doulos. And if you don't have that, the rest of your life, you're just going to be messing around. That's why I believe it stands first in the book of Romans. Doulos, that servant, what we want to study so that you never forget it, that it'll drive in your heart and life to the depths that you never thought of it before. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. We're told in verse 5 that we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. Now watch verse 6. Talking about Christ Jesus, who, verse 6, being in the form of God. Form of God has caused no end of confusion for people because they use it as a weapon to say, look, he was God, he had the form of God. Now, wait a minute. God is what? What kind of form? It just doesn't make sense. Well, the word form is the genitive of origin, and it literally means who being in an external appearance given to him by God. That's the meaning of the word form. It's a genitive of origin. Who being in an external form, in an external appearance, given to him by what? Okay. And that was because he was conceived in the womb of Mary by God's creation. That's how he got the form. God created that seed within Mary. Mary nurtured that little baby within her. That's what it's talking about. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to agree, equal is agree with God. So there you are. Number one, equal with God. Our example, Christ Jesus, equal or agreeing with God. Verse 7, made himself of no reputation. No reputation is number two quality of a doulos. An example. No reputation means empty of self. It means place your life under by your will, by your self-determination. It's no longer me, I attitude. Made himself of no reputation. If anyone had the right to brag, Jesus Christ did. He could have walked all over the place and said, well, look at me, I'm the Son of God. Right? But he didn't. He made himself of no reputation. That means he placed himself under, emptied himself, He humbled himself and took. The word took is lambanoed upon him. He took, lambanoed upon him, the form of a doulos. He took, he lambanoed. He wasn't born, he took it. He had freedom of will, self-determination. He deliberately took upon him the form of a slave. He had the form of God in verse 6. Now, he took upon him the form of a what? Servant, a slave, a doulos. You become what you look at. Beholding something, he tells you that in the Word. Jesus Christ looked at God's Word. He looked at what God's Son was to be, and he took upon him the form of a doulos. Man, when I think this, I get chills running up and down my spine. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, a doulos, a man who had at his command legions of angels, all the power, the authority. You know, he could have done a big healing campaign, a big evangelistic campaign. Could have bought himself oodles and oodles of automobiles. But he took upon himself the form of a doulos. He is our example. Don't forget it. He became a doulos and was made in the likeness of man. That is item number 4. The likeness of man. He looked like a man. He acted like a man. He wasn't some old scrubby nincompoop. He was a man. And men who are real men have to be douloses. They have to stand. The likeness of man. He looked like a man. And being found in fashion as a man, acted like a man. That's the fashion. The word is schema, the Greek word. Today, when we have a blueprint, we call it a plan. A blueprint in the Far East is called a scheme. Or if a man has an idea for a new business, they'll talk about it as a new scheme. The word scheme is a derogatory word in our country. It means you're trying to gyp someone, cheat them, or you're scheming. That's the degradation of this word, schema, translated fashion. Anytime man gets hold of a word, he's always scheming on the word of God, always brings it down, a lot lower than the word has. Found in fashion as a man. I said he acted like a man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humbled himself, deliberately putting of himself under. It's absolutely the opposite of proud and haughty, this word. Humbled himself. Became obedient is point number 7. He was obedient all the days of his life, even the death of the cross. Obedient to the end, that if he had to die, he still was going to be a doulos by being obedient to God. Even if he had to suffer the most humiliating and excruciating death that anyone could administer. Keep your finger here and take a look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now anyone who is not a doulos would not have had that joy. Back to Philippians verse 8, latter part. Even the death of what? The cross. Verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Because he was a doulos, God did what? Highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee must bow and so forth. Those are the 8 great principles that I see in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9 of the example Jesus Christ as a doulos. In Romans chapter 1, then, you have this, and declared the Son of God with power. The word declared is the word marked out, adulos. I'm in Romans 1:4. The word declared. You see, Jesus Christ is not only our example, but he was a doulos. Declared, a doulos, a declared, marked out, doulos, Son of God. People, this is so fantastic. He was the Son of God, but you are what? A Son of God. He was God's only begotten Son, but you are also a Son of God. And you must become a doulos. In Hebrews chapter 3, let me read you this. Verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, we'll fit that category too. Even though it's the book of Hebrews, and I know it. Listen to this. Consider the apostle. See, Jesus Christ was not only our example, he was not only a doulos, but Jesus Christ was a what? An apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Look at verse 2. Who was faithful to him, God, that appointed or chose him. That's what a doulos is. Faithful, steadfast, committed, trustworthy, even unto what? Death. He's one that agrees with God. Now, how can I agree with God? There's only one way I can agree with God. I have to know the word, and I have to believe the word and speak the word that tells about God. That's the only way you can agree with God. Well, you can't be in agreement with God if you contradict God's word, can you? No, never. As also Moses, verse 3. We'll skip down to 5. Moses verily was what? Faithful in all his house. As a slave, Moses was a doulos. In the book of Joshua, that great first chapter, first verse, tells you in Hebrews about Moses also. Look at Joshua, chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the doulos of Jehovah, the doulos, servant of the Lord. Verse 2, Moses, my doulos, is dead. It's really something. In Numbers, chapter 12, look at this verse. My doulos, my servant Moses, not so. He is faithful in all mine house. A doulos is faithful. And look what God does to that doulos. With him, God says, will I speak mouth to mouth. Plainly, not in dark speeches, in obscurity. And he says to those people, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my doulos Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the unbelievers. So not only was Jesus Christ an example, a doulos, an apostle, but Moses was also a doulos. That's what I'm trying to get back to. And to a doulos, God said he gonna talk mouth to mouth. That means spiritual resuscitation, I suppose. Man needs a little of that. Man, to me, that's fantastic. I want to tell you, until you're sold out and you're a doulos, God's not going to talk mouth to mouth with you. That's why the people, grads of the advanced class and others, flip out. They're not getting any revelation because they're not really douloses. If you're a doulos, committed, sold out, with these characteristics that the word of God sets, God will speak to that man or that woman mouth to mouth. I believe the usage of this word, its first usage in the New Testament, speaks loudly also. And that is in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. For I, in Matthew 8, 9, am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my doulos, do this, and he what? Take a look at Mark 13. 13. 34. For the Son of Man is a man taking afar what? Who left his house and gave authority to his douloses. Gave authority. What I want you to see is that a doulos is a man or one under authority. That's a doulos. The Word of God says something, you don't ask any questions about it, you just do it. That's a doulos. How would you all speak in tongues? You don't argue about it, you do it. Boy, when that hits your head sometime and it really digs you, you'll see time and time again where we've blown it. Because we were not really douloses to God and His Word. Love one another, forgive one another, same mind. Same opinion. A man under authority is a doulos. Do this, and he what? Doeth it. That's its first usage in the New Testament. As a man under authority, who if an order is given, he literally does what? Carries it out. That is a doulos. In chapter 10 of Matthew, in verse 24, the disciple, the follower, we who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not above his master, nor the doulos above his Lord. No slave, doulos, no slave is ever above his Lord. The master is still the master. The slave, the doulos, is never above his Lord. You and I are never above the Lord Jesus Christ. Never above. In John 13:16 it says, verily, verily, I say unto you. The word verily, verily, same as the words amen and amen. I say unto you, the doulos, the bond slave, is not greater than his what? Lord, neither he that is sent. He that is sent is the word apostle, greater than he that sent him. Who sent the Lord Jesus Christ? How's that? Neither is he that is sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, greater than he, God, who sent him. The slave, the bonded slave, the doulos, is never greater than his Lord. You and I have confessed with our mouth Jesus as what? We are not greater, nor is an apostle, the sent one, Jesus Christ, greater than the one who sent him, who was God. Now, in the ministry today of the church, we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors. They are the called, the sent one, the apostle, a sent one. That sent one, as a doulos, is still not greater than what? His Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I told you, no person will ever be an apostle without being a doulos. In chapter 15 of John, in verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the doulos is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. The doulos, not greater than his Lord. In Matthew chapter 20, 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, top cat, man on the mountain, sit in the head chair at the banquet, the guest of honor, whosoever will be chief among you Let him be your slave, your doulos. Using as the illustration the next verse, even as the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came not to be ministered unto, but to what? Minister. That is also a principle of a doulos, one who ministers. So if you're going to be a leader, you have to be a doulos. For no great leadership will ever be resident in a man or a woman who is not a doulos. Listen to this verse. It's similar to what I just read. This is from Mark 10:44. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the doulos of all. In the book of Acts, chapter 4. Here is a fantastic truth of a doulos also. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy douloses that with all, what? Boldness. That's the characteristic. A doulos who speaks the word with all boldness. Romans chapter 6, 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves douloses to obey, his douloses ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto what? But, verse 17, God be thanked that ye, who were the douloses of sin, but now you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free, verse 18, you became the douloses of what? Righteousness. Verse 20, for when you were the douloses of sin, you were free from right. You didn't have any, but now you have become the douloses of righteousness. That verse 18 talks. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord a doulos is the Lord's free man. That's why I said to you that the more you become a slave to Jesus Christ, the more freedom you will have. That's what this verse 22 is saying. Likewise, also he that is called free is Christ's doulos. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the douloses of what? Slaves of men. And for the most part, that's all Christians have ever been. They have not been douloses of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been douloses for religion as men have promulgated it in the name of Jesus Christ. You're bought with a what? That's right. You're bought with a price. And putting that together with 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, that's why we do not preach our what? Selves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves, your douloses for Jesus' sake. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the doulos of what? Right. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't please men and be a doulos of Christ. In chapter 4 of Galatians, and in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, a doulos, but a what? Son. And if you're a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That doulos as a son. This verse here sounds difficult, sounds contradictory. It isn't. It isn't. You're no more a servant, but you have become a son. We are sons of God by birth. Israel were sons of God by adoption. But we are no longer douloses, but a son means that we have been brought into the family. Now we're closer than we've ever been before, but now by the freedom of my will, being a son, I choose to serve him as a doulos to the uttermost. Watch this thing, Exodus 21. 21 of Exodus, verse 2. If thou buy a Hebrew doulos, 6 years he shall serve, and the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Verse 5. And if the doulos shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. To plainly say means by the freedom of his choice, freedom of will. Then, verse 6, his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This is not a cruelty. This the master does not do to hurt, because this individual has chosen to serve the master, to be his doulos. He has willfully, deliberately chosen to serve the master. So the master puts his brand on him. He puts his awl, his insignia through the earlobe. Little Tick Jr., TJ, he's got lettering inside his ear, stamped in there. He is marked. He's a doulos. Got to mark. It's really something. Hey, the master, because his doulos, he was free to go, but he deliberately decided to serve the master, to be a doulos. So the master, to show that he was his forever, put a hole in his ear. And the word for the master is the word Lord. Hey, when you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, did he put a hole in your ear? No, but what did he give you? And you spoke in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the external manifestation that you are a doulos. You're marked. You're marked. You've got the brand, man. You're marked. That is the Holy Spirit's marking of a doulos, speaking in tongues. Old Testament, earlobe. Book of Acts, speaking in tongues. Before I read it to you from the book of Acts, I want to read to you Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 12. Listen to this. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, serve thee 6 years, then the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally, out of the flock, out of the floor, out of the winepress, and that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, verse 16, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he what? Loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee. Then, verse 17, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door. That's right. Stuck him up against the door post, and nailing him to the door meant that he was forever his. Not to misuse, but to bless. Not for the master to misuse. Not for the master to get him to do tasks the master himself was not willing to do, but because of love. He became a doulos, and the master loves the doulos. In Acts chapter 2, I'm sure you've read this. It's neat. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they were all filled, plethoed, pneumahagion, and began to what? Speak. Hey, the Hebrew, Doulos, what was the evidence when he moved among the people that he was a doulos? Dear, what was the evidence in Acts 2:4 that they were born again? They plethoed. They spoke in what? That's the Christian's mark, right? That's the Christian's mark that God puts on him. Like the master put the owl, or the awl, or what do you call it, awl? Well, he put the awl all the way through the ear to the door. It was the master's mark upon him. 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Here it is. We love him, 19, because he what? First loved us. The Old Testament doulos loved the master because the master first did what? We love God and his wonderful son, Jesus Christ, because he first loved us. That's why we become douloses and love him. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, look at Ephesians. Chapter 6, verse 6. Not with eye service, not according to eye service, as men pleasers, but as douloses of Christ. Douloses of what? Christ. Doing the will of God from the what? Heart. From the innermost part of your being, with all that you are, ever hope to be, with everything you have, doing the will of God from the heart, because as douloses of Christ, that's the least we can do. Because God so loved, we love. Because he first loved us, we love him. And we deliberately allow him to nail us to the door. By the freedom of our will, we're sold out, uncompromising, with all the boldness and all those other characteristics that I read to you about a doulos. But this is not all. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 16. As free, yet not using liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the douloses of God. See, the more you become a doulos of Jesus Christ, the more freedom you have, because Jesus Christ is your Savior, but God is our Father. By way of his Son, Jesus Christ, we are free. Sometimes in the way ministry, I hear all this crazy talk about freedom. You know what it means to you? To go out and sin whenever you want to. Then quickly go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Be back in line of my harmony. Then go out and sin again. And then go run back to God and say, well, God, I'm sorry. Wait a minute, baby. You're not a doulos. You're a copped-out screwball. No doulos. That's a bunch of baloney. You're free, far as I'm concerned, not free to sin, but you're free to live with the love of God and the renewed mind in manifestation. You're a doulos, sold out to God, to his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. That's where the freedom is. There is no freedom in sin, only enslavement. There's no freedom in sin. But people use the liberty, see it, as a what? A cloak of maliciousness, viciousness, to draw other people away. It's a cloak. Boy, oh boy. Colossians chapter 1. Isn't it something to be a doulos? You see why I told you the book of Romans started with that word? The individual. Then the first thing, a doulos. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 7, as ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow slave, doulos, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Fellows doulos. Now, I'm in a different category. So far, I've been dealing just with doulos. And yet, I already saw on the horizon the fellow doulos. I saw it where Christ is my Savior, but God is my Father. So I am a fellow doulos with Christ, for God. But here is the scripture that defines a fellow doulos. Old Epaphras was one who heard the word of God from Paul, and he was a fellow slave, a fellow doulos to Paul. That's what he's talking about. Our dear fellow doulos, a fellow doulos to Paul in one way, because Paul taught him the word, but like Paul, he too was a doulos of Christ, his Savior, walking for him to glorify God, his Father. Chapter 4 of Colossians, verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow doulos. A fellow doulos in whom, Lord? You see, we're fellow douloses in the Lord, and yet these men, Timothy and the rest, were fellow douloses to Paul, who taught them the word. Someplace in the epistles it says, you're not to forget the man who taught you the word or communicated. Well, where is that? What verse? Galatians 6:6? Thank you. Look at it. Let him that is taught in the Logos, the word, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, and they always talk about wild oats. The wildest oats I know aren't wild compared to being wild on the opposite of the greatness of the word. And this is talking about sowing wild oats when you're not walking on the word rightly, taught in the word wrongly. Let him that is taught in the word be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth shall he also reap. That's the fellow doulos. Philippians chapter 1. Here, Paul and Timothy, the douloses of what? Jesus Christ. I'm in Philippians 1:1, which says that Timothy was also a what? Doulos. In Colossians chapter 4:12, Epaphras, who is of you, a doulos of what? Christ. You know, Paul was a slave of Jesus Christ. The word, the mystery revealed, he taught it. Then those men became slaves, douloses of Paul. When you read in Acts that they went with him, they ministered to him. Remember that in Acts? In this verse, it talks about old Epi being a doulos of Christ. See? That's what it means. James, Hebrews, James. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a doulos of whom? God. And of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul was a doulos. Well, we've run the gamut. Moses, Joshua, all those men, douloses. We got down here to Paul, Timothy, old Epa. Now here, James is a doulos. Peter, Hebrews, James, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a what? Doulos. And an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jude. Verse 1, Jude, the doulos of Jesus Christ. Back to Romans. Romans 1:1, Paul, what? Doulos. Paul, doulos of Jesus Christ, right? Paul, a doulos. Now let's watch that doulos. Ready? Acts chapter 9. Verse 5. The first thing on the road to Damascus, When Paul was born again, the first thing in verse 5 is, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" That's the first thing of a doulos, to know the Lord. Who art thou? And the way you and I get to know the Lord is through His Word. The second thing He said is, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" There it is. Who art thou, Lord? Lord, what will you have me to do? In verse 15, the Lord said to Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, a doulos, a chosen vessel, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of what? Israel." That is Paul. Romans 1:1. Paul, a what? Doulos. There it begins. On the road to Damascus. Who art thou? What will you have me to do? It all starts there for a doulos. Now flip all the way to Acts 27, where it almost ends in the book of Acts. Verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of whom?" Hey, Moses. Remember, God did what with Moses? Mouth to mouth. Paul, even in the midst of that precarious situation, he said, "There stood by me the angel of the what? God." An angel of God. Here's the reason. Whose I am and whom I serve. That's a doulos. It isn't the angel of God. It's God whose he was, and it's God whom he served. That's a doulos. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 22. "He that is called in the Lord a doulos is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called free is Christ's doulos." 23. "You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." The reason I wanted to read this again is because I want to show you 1 Corinthians 6, 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God? You're not your own, for ye are bought with a price." You see, in 7 it talks about an individual being bought with a price. But individuals bought with a price make up the body. The individual is a tabernacle. Peter said, "Shortly I must lay off this tabernacle." The individual is a tabernacle. The individual is a doulos of God. But the individuals together make up the temple. All the tabernacles joined together make up the temple that it's talking about in 19. And that temple we have of God, you're not your own, sure, you're bought with a price. As individuals, but as those individuals gathered in the temple, all of them been bought with what? A price. "And therefore glorify God in your body," the body of the temple it's talking about. No one is ever a doulos until you know what he, Christ Jesus, did for you. Underscore the word "for." Nor will you be a doulos until you know what he, Christ Jesus, did in you. Underscore the "in." How he gave remission and forgiveness of sins. 1 Timothy chapter 1. You have to have the great knowledge and recognition of whose you really are, to whom you really belong, not only as an individual, but as a body. That's why the Word of God says we're to be especially good to what? The household. Doesn't say family. The household, because you can be a member of a household and extricate yourself by your walk, by your broken fellowship. You still are in the family, but you're outside of the what? You're still a son of God, right? But you have split off from the temple, the body, because you're doing your own trip. We're no longer of one mind. Same opinion, same judgment. But true douloses are of that one body, the temple. And we are especially good to the household of faith. Verse 15, 1 Timothy 1, 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all accepting. Nothing else touches it. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? Sinners, of whom I am chief. Verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. You know what mercy means. Grace is what? Unmerited favor. What is mercy? His deliberate withholding of what? Judgment. Yeah, that's right. Merited judgment. Obtain mercy that in me, first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for an example to them who are about to believe on him to life everlasting. Isn't that beautiful? This is Paul saying he was chief of sinners, showing how God's mercy was shown forth, that he might show forth, Christ might show forth, all long suffering for an example. Christ is our what? Example. And if you are a doulos, you're going to be long suffering to those who are about to believe on him to life everlasting. And it's just like, to me, the picture I have, they're just going to get born. The baby's just going to be delivered. Now the baby's here. And to grow up that baby, we have an example that we have to follow, and that's one of long what? Putting up with the baby till it grows up. What he's talking about. That's this Paul, chief of sinners. Romans 1, Paul a what? Doulos. From the chief of sinners to doulos, from the road to Damascus, from the stoning of Stephen to a doulos is quite a trip, quite a distance, quite an excursion, quite a trip. Someone must have been long suffering with him. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, 15, 8, 1 Corinthians. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as if it were one born out of due time. For I am the least of apostles, that I am not qualified, fit, worthy to be called a what? An apostle. Because I persecuted the church of God. But, verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Not worthy to be called a what? Least of the apostles, persecuted the church. People from being the chief of sinners persecuting the church. To Romans 1:1, where the word of God says, Paul a doulos. That's not Paul talking, that's God talking. Paul's vocabulary, but God's word. Paul, doulos, sold out, committed, branded, marked, slave. Really something? Luke 7. Luke 7, 37. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. A woman who was a what? Sinner. Paul, chief of what? Persecuted the what? A woman, chief of sinners. Look at verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are what? Are what? Forgiven. For she loved much. She loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. You'll never have any problem with forgiving others as long as you just remember that you were the chief of sinners. You won't have any problem to be long-suffering with new children in the family if you'll just remember how long-suffering God in Christ Jesus has had to be with you. Jesus said, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Luke chapter 8, verse 2. "And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils." Quite a woman. Got rid of them. Look at Matthew 28. Remember what you just read. Matthew 28, verse 1. "After the Sabbath, as it began to dusk, toward the first of the week, which would be Saturday evening, came who? Mary Magdalene, out of whom what? Seven devils had been cast." Now you just don't have devil spirits in you unless you've broken fellowship someplace along the line. Jesus had said to the woman with the many sins, she loved much, forgiven. Here's Mary Magdalene. Who do you think went back to take a look? Who stood at the cross? Well, this verse at least says, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. In 27, verse 55, "And many women were there." Many women at the cross were there, beholding afar off, standing back and watching, which followed Jesus from Galilee. Here it is, ministering unto what? Women who were douloses. Women who were committed. Women who were sold out. Paul, chief of sinners, persecuted the church. A doulos. Woman with a lot of sins. Mary Magdalene with seven devils. Doulos. Acts chapter 2. Bless your heart. Verse 18. "After the day of Pentecost, Peter says, these are not drunken." Remember the sermon? 18. "And on my douloses, and on my doule," that's the women, D-O-U-L-E, "I will pour out in those days of my spirit, both men and women, doulos, doule, bond slaves, servants." Verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, our example, an apostle, a doulos, a man." Who do you think God would be the doulos to? Who do you think he'd be the apostle to? "But Jesus of Nazareth, example, doulos, apostle, a man, approved of God." Verse 23, "Him being delivered by the marked out, the determinate, the doulos council." Marked out, that's the word determinate. The marked out, the doulos council, the doulos will, because of the foreknowledge of God, had him all marked out, all staked out, all bonded by the will and because of his foreknowledge. God knew that Jesus of Nazareth would be a doulos. He knew that he would study to show himself approved by rightly dividing the word. He knew that even though he'd be tempted in all things, still he wouldn't sin. He was the example of all examples, the doulos. That's the meaning of that word determinate. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. See, I do not believe that Paul, when he held up his hands, had the form of a cross in his palms with the blood running out of it. What do they call that? The stigma or something? They got venerated saints of the RC church that bleed all the time. Even statues that have blood coming out of them. They've been up there for centuries, still bleeding. He always bears, I'm in 2 Corinthians 4:10, always bears about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Paul was marked out. Paul was a doulos. Paul was branded. He had God's, what do you call it, when you put a brand on a cow, what do you call that thing? You know, the insignia of that brand, that it belongs to God. And you know, someone, you got the brand of God on you, what that ought to mean. Keep your lousy dukes off of that woman. Keep your hands off of that man. They're branded for whom? What right does an unbeliever then have to touch the brand of God? They'll do it all the time if they can. None whatsoever. The old adversary has no right to put his dukes on any of God's branded people. We've been bought with a price. Not the price of the adversary, but God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, people. And we're branded. Keep your fingers here in 2 Corinthians. I want to show you something else in Galatians. Then I come back. Galatians, verse 17. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks, the stamp, the impress of the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4. That's why, because you have that impress, that's why Paul said in verse 5, we preach not what? But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your douloses for Jesus. 2 Timothy 1. Verse 3, I thank God whom I what? Serve. Remember earlier I read whose I am and whom I what? Here in Timothy 1, 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers. Paul, a doulos, an apostle. But look at this. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers. Forefathers served Moses down the line. Paul also served. Why? Because he was a doulos. A man is born to live. A man is born again to what? Serve. That's right. Because except a man is born again, all he can do at best is just live. And that simply means exist till the end comes. But when you're born again, you have eternal life. And having eternal life, boy, the least you can do when you're born again is to serve. Sell out. Sell out to serve. Because you have a greater knowledge of God's word, you must be a greater what? Amen. That's the word, people. If you want to bring stuff on yourself and live below par, then just do less than when you did when you first got born again. Chapter 2. Here's some of the characteristics. I didn't have time to put them all together. That's why I said there are a lot of other verses. But I think this pretty well holds you till breakfast. Oh, shoot, it begins back up in 22. Flee youthful lusts. Foolish and unlearned questions. God, we have multitudes of those. Why? The servant, verse 24, the doulos of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all. A doulos of the Lord has to be apt to what? A doulos is one who is apt to teach, able to teach, patient in humility or meekness. instructing those who oppose themselves, reason being that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, and that people will come to the acknowledgement of the truth of verse 25. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a doulos of Jesus Christ, called apostle, separated for one thing, what? The gospel of God. Boy, oh boy. Verse 4, Jesus Christ, marked out the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for one thing, what? Obedience, obedience, obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. People, I know nothing greater than to be a doulos.